Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're talking about podcasts. We're talking about afternoon podcast.
It's afternoon where we're recording, and normally it's morning, but today it's afternoon, and this is Two Chunks.
It's morning somewhere.
Welcome to Two Chunks. That's what we're doing now. I'm Jordan, as always.
I'm Doge. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Pizza.
Pizza who?
Pizza who? Pizza, pretty nice guy once you get to know him.
Oh, snap, dude. He's
That's
back.
Good.
He's
That's
back.
Good.
He's crazy. This crazy guy is back, dude.
That's the real inspiration. We don't need quotes.
Somebody try and stop him.
I'm Carter.
Doge the meaning in my life. Doge the inspiration.
I'm Carter, and no, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die. That's just a little, gold finger. Thank you. Yeah. Just a little gold finger, dude. Just a little four-piece gold finger. Country basket, dude. That's all that was.
Dude, Lil Goldfinger was my nickname in high school.
Wow. That's interesting.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I just realized I was resting my belly on my standing desk because when I laughed, my camera shook. Yeah, there's that.
How very jolly old St. Carter list of you.
Like, yes. Thank you.
That joke's only for us.
It's always good to have those just for the belief.
Oh, I love it.
Bring up Goldfinger.
What are we? Yeah.
I would just say, like, it feels like since I was born, there's always, like, in movie news world, people are kind of on the lookout for who's the next James Bond. You know? That's
sure.
Feels like that's been
I don't feel
forever.
Like anybody's ever thankful for the James Bond that they have.
Yeah.
They're just Everybody's always looking for the next James Bond.
So happy that my generation Bond is Daniel Craig, who I believe to be the best of the Bonds. I do love some nostalgic Connery, of course. But again, it's still rumor. I never saw any kind of article that said it was confirmed. It's all saying like all but confirmed. And I think people kind of have to say that these days unless production has already started because of how up in the air production is with really who knows what's going to happen. But Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I also think that's entertainment business for air quotes, allegedly, you know, like where it's definitely real, but don't want to get in trouble.
Personal favorite of the pod, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
ATJ.
You know him as Craven. Very likely. Very likely the next Bond.
I forgot him as Craven until right now.
I dig it, man. I'm down. What's y'all's quick opinion on that? It's not the Thumbs first up. He'd been rumored for it.
Great. Yeah.
I think he's awesome. Great. Dude. I think he's incredibly charming.
Yeah, it's a great choice. I can't find a reputable source for this rumor.
Sure.
I was tracking this long before it broke the surface of the water in Discord.
As one does.
And everything points back to like the Daily Mail or like the Sun, which is basically
not the most.
Like if it was printed in one of those papers that was like Madonna's mother, a real alien, tells all.
Yeah.
Sure.
Wait till you see her now.
But on the other hand, maybe.
I do like
But on the other hand, if Madonna's mom is
an
alien,
could be an alien.
I want to hear what the alien has to say.
Could be an alien.
Could be an alien. I dig it. I think it's a different enough.
I like it.
I mean, he's got the charisma. He's got the abs. I think Bonds, ever since Craig, are going to have to feel like they can beat you up. I think Craig reset. We have to have an intimidating. It's not all suave. You know what I'm saying?
Pierce Brosnan. I felt like Pierce Brosnan could beat me up.
Hmm. Yeah, I feel like he could beat me up.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I think the only Riz I respect is physical. Is Rizical Riz.
Rizical Riz.
Because personality Riz is not intimidating to
Pierce Brosnan.
I think he has to be a physical threat.
I don't stand a chance against this guy. He's too charming.
Because I think all three of us could out personality the Hutt. If it came to like a suave contest, I wouldn't be intimidated by James Bond. Just like, oh, he's got a big, charming personality. Guess what? Me too.
Like you're insane if you think you could out-Riz Daniel Craig in an actual charisma competition.
I think I am less intimidated. If Bond is supposed to intimidate me, if I'm supposed to be like, dang, I don't want to tangle with Bond.
Sure.
I feel like the way that you get me to feel that way is not by me going like, he's so cool, I just can't tangle with him.
Sure. I get that.
Yeah. But anyways, thought that was a big deal. Thought I'd drop that. Also, Jordan, something very special that I saw just very recently. Yeah, Jack Black, you know him well. This is essentially if you were... Jack Black is one of the pieces of your Hollywood Megazord, I think, Jordan wonders.
I do love him very much.
Has said in an interview that he is ready now to go ahead and make a School of Rock sequel. How does that make you feel?
Whoa.
Okay, I have mixed thoughts, primarily positive, just because Jack Black is attached, which means quality inherently. It does make me nervous, I think, because it's like, ooh, we're going to mess with a good thing. But if it's Jack Black... If it's Jack Black instigated, then I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm fully
down.
It
doesn't really feel like he's enough of just a crazy guy. It doesn't feel like he has too many misses, like legitimate misses.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially not his role in things. He might be in a stinker of a movie, but he'll be one of the best parts, hands down.
You know how like when you're... like reading fiction or like, I mean, we even talked about this in like high school English, writing papers and stuff. And it was like how important it is for an author's voice to come through to where it's like, they have a distinctive and definitive voice.
Sure.
Let me read you this quote from Jack Black, who is a master of distinctive and definitive voice. I wish there'd be a School of Rock 2 Electric Boogaloo. I'm ready. And then he said, you know, Mike White wrote the first one and he's a genius. And we'd have to see Mike White back in the saddle, but he's real busy right now with White Lotus, the best show on TV.
Yep.
That is, it's just so Jack Black. He's like got such a specific brand that it's like, of course, that's exactly how he would say that.
Jack Black is the definition of somebody where it's like true Riz competition.
Like, yes. Like a charisma See? Stat. Like in D&D terms, Jack Black's worked his way up to like a 26 in charisma. Like he has a full on, like what would that be? Like a plus +8. he's just insane, dude. Every word from his mouth is dripping. It's not even sarcasm. That is the wrong word. Jack Black is almost weaponized sincerity. Like,
yeah.
Like the dude is fully bought into everything he does because I think he lives his life with this Jack Blackian, like,
yeah.
Yeah, me though. And not in a prideful way, but just like, I'll just do it the way I do it.
He's at the Riz level. I was actually thinking about this, not Jack Black specifically, but thinking about this earlier today, where it's like there are some like phrases or like affectionate nicknames for people that are just forbidden to me because I think my charisma stat is too low.
Sure.
I think Jack Black has a high enough Riz count in his blood, like midichlorians, that he could call me brother man, and I'd be like, that's a cool thing for someone to call me.
Yeah,
all right, I could never
man.
Call
like,
somebody
it'd be so like
yeah.
I
could,
man. I could never call somebody that. There's so many like forbidden phrases and nicknames that I could never say that I think Jack Black could say.
Daddy-O is another one that I feel like Jack Black could look me square in the eyes and call me Daddy-O, and I'd be like, I am Daddy-O.
He could call me buddy, and it wouldn't feel condescending.
Yeah, bud. Pal, any of them. I think he gets. That's what I'm saying. His charisma, Jack Black is so charismatic.
He could call me Home Souse, and it'd be like, yeah, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard someone say.
Home Just Souse even is what somebody with a 12 replicate. Charisma score thinks somebody with a 26 charisma score says. Jack Black might even call me Home Souse.
Home Souse.
I think there's even a chance he calls me Home Souse.
If I meet him, he might even have like a secret handshake that he does with me.
He just calls me.
I would feel like that though. Jack Black would make me feel like that though. I'd see him and I would.
Yeah.
I think he is on a short list of celebrities that would make me go full blown like knock-kneed, googly eye. Don't
like
know
full
what
on
to
starstruck.
Say. I don't get starstruck. Anytime I've met anybody remotely famous, it doesn't faze me at all. They're just people to
me. I know,
me.
Dude.
But
first time we met, it didn't even faze you, man.
Yeah, I was just like, who's this?
You're on this
who's
call
this
with us
guy,
every
dude?
Week. And we're famous podcasters.
No, one time I met Peter Cetera from Chicago. I didn't even blink. Dude.
One time I met Peter Cetera.
I met Peter Cetera from Chicago.
The time I met
didn't
Peter.
Didn't even faze me. Yeah, met him in an airport.
I don't really know who that is.
You know who Peter Cetera is?
Mm-mm.
He's one of the singers.
From the airport?
You don't know Peter from the airport?
I don't know Peter, man. It wouldn't have fazed me at all.
I think that's from DFW.
That's Pilot Pete.
Gate
that's
G
what people always talk about when they talk about Pilot Pete,
Peter
right?
Peter Cetera, yeah.
Peter Cetera from the airport.
He had sex in a windmill in the park on Saturday.
You know, I think when I heard it, it was the 4th of July.
He had sex about 25 or 6 to 4 times. That's a joke for one person, and that person's my dad, who does not listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to talk about something. Pick me.
Do it,
go.
Then.
An ode to Baldur's Gate. Sometimes a game, a TV show, a movie comes out, or you find it, and it happens at the right time, or it happens at the wrong time, and you just force it to become the right time because it's just that good. Baldur's Gate, Game of the Year winner from the Game Awards, which I agree with from last year, came out at what was the perfect time for me. It came out right, I mean, the week that I made like a pretty big life change. Found myself with quite a bit of spare free time on my hands there at the beginning. And I dove head first into this game. And if you don't know Baldur's Gate is a video game that runs on the D&D 5e rules. So the classes, the races, the weapons, and the stats all are based on D&D 5e. So it's a game that basically lets you play a like semi-bespoke D&D campaign. If you play for as many hours as I've played, you realize that there's more rails than you think there are. But by and large, it's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure game with a narrator and decisions and multiple endings and different routes to get there. But the thing that I have come to love so much about this game is I've done multiple playthroughs. I have mastered the art of getting through the game very, very quickly and knowing like exactly how to like maximize experience so that I can level up enough to go do the next thing. And I almost am playing this game like it's a cozy game at this point. Like I'm kind of playing it the same way people played Animal Crossing during COVID lockdowns, of just like turn it on, something else is on in the background, and I'm just like in the middle of a boss fight, or I'm just doing whatever. And it
just like,
yes. It's just me. My party is me, Tom Nook, and KK Slider. And we're the ones taking on sort of the absolute. But this game is just, it's so rich with things to do. And besides just incredible music and voice acting, which like is absolutely stellar. Some of my favorite things in games are like getting that next piece of gear that just makes your build like finally click when you you have like everything in place and you're just waiting on that one pair of gloves to drop that puts you over the edge, and now all of a sudden you're just this machine of murder. Or you wait to get that robe that makes your Eldritch Blast hit for two times your charisma modifier, and now all of a sudden you're just flying. And that feeling I find so addictive in video games. It's one of the things I love about From Software games. It's one of the things that I love about the new iteration of Zelda, like the Breath of the Wild era of Zelda, where you can find a piece of gear that's like, oh, now I can do this because it lets me, you know, fall and not take damage or whatever. And so this is just, Baldur's Gate is a game that I think is for everybody. Callie's playing it with me in like a couch co-op, and she's never played a video game that isn't a cozy game before. I just think that everybody can enjoy this game. And if it's something that you've been on the fence about or just waiting to hit a Steam sale or something, the moment you feel like you should pull the trigger, do it. Because I really, really think you'll have a great time. And just as we transition into a more multimedia-based podcast versus just movies, I think it's important to shine a light on things that are breaking ground in other areas. And Baldur's Gate is nothing if not completely groundbreaking. I'm in love with this game. It's a top five game of all time for me. And
what is your favorite just like character name and build? Safe for pod,
sure,
obviously.
Sure. My favorite build overall, like you cannot have more fun, in my opinion, in Baldur's Gate than playing as a Githyanki monk. Githyanki's get a couple things.
That's what you did in our last playthrough that we just finished.
That was
together.
My second Githyanki monk playthrough because it's just okay. Too good. You get automatic proficiency in whichever skill you want once per day, once per long rest as a Githyanki. But also at level 5, you get Misty Step as a racial trait. So if you can find another way to get Misty Step, you get 2 Misty Steps. And as a monk, because you got to get in and punch and then get out, it's brilliant. But monk is one of those where it's like act 1 of the game, you're like, I'm having fun. And act 2 of the game, you're like, it got a little hard. And then act 3, you're like, I'm a murder god. Get out of my way.
I'm a murder Tell the people, god. Share the people the name of your Githyanki monk that we just finished the playthrough
with. My Githyanki monk was named Shaloub.
Dude, I was going to guess something like that.
Were you really?
That's amazing.
Yes. S-H-A apostrophe L-U-B, Shaloub. Ugh.
Way to go.
I cannot.
That's fantastic.
I cannot on our podcast say the name of my new fighter, my 12 level Battlemaster fighter character that I'm currently building, because it will get us an explicit tag.
We can just bleep it out.
It's
I want to hear it for the
though.
First time.
Names are different.
What did you say, Carter?
Just bleep it out. Just tell me and we'll bleep it out.
Okay. My fighter's name is.
What? That never, the like silly, inappropriate name for character never leaves.
It's always the funniest thing in the whole world. That I think that was why I had as much fun as I did with Red Dead Redemption 2 is because I just got to they let you put whatever for the name of the horse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can name it anything. It doesn't have to be a good horse name.
Also, horse names are notoriously the most bizarre, like in racing.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably weren't too far off.
That's true. But yeah, Doge has been having fun with Baldur's Gate as well. You heard it here first.
Hang on. This is very important. How long do we have before show announcements?
A couple minutes.
You guys want to play a game?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Something with horse names, I think.
Feels like it.
I have... Oh.
I that have asked, typing sounds fake.
It's real.
Your keyboard sounds so squishy.
It's made of gelatin.
It's a keyboard in a jello mold.
It's big in the 1950s. Yeah, everybody jello. Was making
there's
them.
There's mayonnaise. There's lime jello.
Crushed cut up carrots.
Spoilers.
Letters
for,
A through Z.
Spoilers for Spring
Oh, is keyboard jello one of the appetizers?
Yep. And sorry, mayonnaise. Man.
All right, guys. I just built a game for us on the spot.
Whoa.
Dude, when ChatGPT becomes sentient, it's going to kill you for saying that you created this game.
I came up with it. I came up with the game. I didn't come up with the materials for the game.
Wow. Interesting.
I have prepared on the left side of my screen a list of Kentucky Derby winners. And on the right side of my screen, ChatGPT has given me 30 fake horse names.
Follow his eyeballs.
I'm going to switch him now.
Just follow him reverse.
Ooh, or he's not. Or he's not actually going to switch him now.
Oh, did he switch him or did he not switch him?
Clearly, I can't choose the wine glass in front of me.
Okay.
Never match wits with a Sicilian.
I'm going to say a horse name and I need you guys to decide together.
Go.
I need you guys to decide together if this is a real horse or a cyber horse made up by AI.
Cyber horse is cooler for sure. Go.
You get 3 strikes. First one, country house.
Real. Cyber horse.
Ooh, okay, let's talk about it because we're together here.
We are together here.
You know what? Cyber horse. It's not that serious for me. Cyber horse.
It's not creative enough. It's either a bad real horse name or a bad cyber horse name. I don't think AI is caught up to horse names yet. So I think it's a cyber horse.
Cyber horse. Look at that smirk.
The winner of the 2019 Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby. The 2019 Kentucky Derby.
Irma Gerd.
was a horse named Country House. That is a real horse, house. Real flesh and blood.
That's bad. Shame on you, Country House.
And they're criminal ridiculer. Kermit.
The Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby.
The Kentucky Derby.
That is one strike.
I'm going to get them all wrong.
Whirlwind Wonder. Whirlwind Wonder.
See, that
is this a real horse? Is this a real horse that God made or did the machines make this one?
Well, that's an existential Jordan. Question. I think cyber horse.
Correct. That is a cyber horse. Whirlwind Wonder is a cyber horse. Galactic Giddyup.
I'm going to say real because I want it to be.
Well, I'll say real with my friend Jordan.
Galactic Giddyup is a cyber horse.
Dang, good job,
A creation
AI.
Of the machines. 2 strikes. You have 1 more strike to try to be AI.
Oh, no.
Secretariat. Wait, go ahead.
Big Brown.
Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron. Yes, Big Brown.
Okay, here's what's wild. All of the cyber horses have been alliteration so far. Whirling Wonder, whatever the last one was.
Yeah.
Galactic Giddy Up was
Galactic
the last
Giddy
one.
Up, yeah, Big Brown. Man. Is that part of the code,
you gamed
bro?
The system. I think you gamed the system. I'm going to say cyber.
If AI is the Wild West, who's the sheriff? Then let's say it's a cyber. I think we caught it. I think we've figured it out. The jig is up, dude.
The winner of the 2008 Kentucky Derby. Kentucky Derby.
Berg Brown. Big Brown is a great name.
I love that.
Psychedelic Streak.
I thought the game was
already lost.
That was our third strike.
Oh, yeah, that was your third strike, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Anyways, that's a real horse.
Psychedelic Streak. Psychedelic Streak is a real horse?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Interesting, because
so.
It's not.
Interesting, you're wrong. That's my horse's name.
Psychedelic Street is the only one of 30. Well, there's a couple that are one word. The only one of 30 ChatGPT horses that is not alliterated. Mm. All of the others are the same first letter.
Interesting.
That's funny. It's well, still phonetically
Psychedelic Streak wouldn't be. Psychedelic Streak is still an alliteration, just not.
Yeah,
starting letters. But it's
a slant alliteration. Can you even have that?
Can you even?
Well, AI, sucks. You guys got fooled. You got fooled so bad by AI.
You know what else we're gonna be sharing?
Other thing we're gonna be sharing right now is. Shared near.
The Kentucky Deer Barrel. He was just shutting down.
Kentucky Deer Barrel. Welcome to Shout Announcements, the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. Got a couple biggins for you today.
Some big browns.
A real horse.
An actual horse.
I'm a real horse.
In 1 week, you will find yourself at the end of the time frame in which you can vote for our April movie in Two Chunks Movie Club.
What a straightforward way to say that.
That's all I do is in which the manner that I speak being straightforward and uncomplicated as such.
It sounds like you have like a
I'm trying to
Gandalf
meet a word
filter.
yes.
I get paid by the word. Two Chunks Movie Club, April movie voting. It ends next week. So make sure you get in there and let your vote be heard. The vote heard around the world could be yours. It really could be.
Also, you'll have the opportunity to vote on Spring Delirium. If you want to get in there and die for your food, you have a couple of votes at it. If you can get on the $3 tier of Patreon, but otherwise you can just, anybody can. It's just like America. Well, modern day America. Everyone can vote. So jump in there, Spring Delirium. We're going to have, once we get down to the 16, the sweet 16, then the power's in your hands. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll get through appetizers today. We'll have snacks, and then we'll do all those matchups to get us to the sweet 16. Then it's up to you. And we will decide once and for all, what is the greatest food?
And everybody can just pretend that mochi's better than any other choice on the list and just push it forward as a meme.
I'm so interested to see what happens. I don't even think it's going to
be
a pass,
you're being real. You're being real electoral college right now where you're like, oh, I got a vote. I don't care. We vote the way I vote.
Well, that is
how
the game
works. We should just give mochi to the people immediately. Like y'all don't get to be a part of the mochi vote anymore because I feel like it's going to backfire. On you, Jordan. I think it's going to.
I thought you literally meant like give mochi to people.
Honestly, I've already resigned to the fact that people are going to vote mochi forward just as a bit. Like if mochi gets far in this, it's not because it's good. It's just because people want to prove a point.
Yeah.
Huh. Really is. It really is like American politics.
Mm. Wow.
And then we cut there and go back to the show.
This American Life. Yes.
This American. I'm Justin Dozier, and you're listening to This American Life.
No, you're not.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are we back?
We're back. We're here. Spring Delirium. It's our third round. And it's the first round, but it's our third go at it here. We've got our appetizers, which in my opinion, like if I was to not feel the literal weight of the caloric intake of everything here and it wouldn't like hurt my body every meal, I think I could just, I love going to a bar and just splitting apps with people for a meal.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that such a lovely feeling? Such a college thing.
Appetizers, yeah, totally. It's such a like, this is the first time I've ever had my own money kind of thing. Yes. And so I'm not going to spend it on vegetables, but instead I'm going to get mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. And restaurant business understands like, yeah, this is the big get.
Appetizer, probably my favorite thing to eat. That also sounds like it could be the name of one of the cats from Cats.
Yeah. Appetizer.
Apple teaser.
Appetizer. Y'all, I'm going to just share it because it's one of the funniest moments I've ever seen in my life. My wife turned into a cartoon yesterday because she got a Charlie horse.
Oh, no, is she okay?
She's fine now. We're back. Somebody, Sam, opened up the portal again and we were able to get back in through the golf course, hole 13. Chelsea got a Charlie horse like in her foot. Last night after a workout, and she was laying down and she was like, oh, oh, oh. And then she just ended up doing this, like waving Kermit arms around and just being like for 2 minutes. And I couldn't. And then she's laughing at how ridiculous it is, but that's just like, she didn't know what to do with it.
It sounds like the lady that falls while she's trying to stomp the grapes.
You know what's crazy?
Mm.
She got a Charlie horse in her foot?
Yeah.
The Charlie horse's name? Big Brown.
Big Brown, dude. She got a Big Brown on her foot.
That's a Charlie Big Brown horse.
Appetizers. Let me tell you one thing that I have removed from appetizers. I'm going to get ahead of it. In the great state of Texas and most places in the South, to me, if it's an appetizer, you have to order it. Does this make sense?
Oh, okay.
If I get chips and salsa.
You got rid of chips and salsa?
I think that's valid.
Dude, it's not an appetite. It's like water.
It's a given. It's a given. Yep. I'm 100% with you. And also,
if anything,
unfair.
It's special that it's got its own realm, you know? Yeah.
Chips and salsa, especially since this is so subjective and I can substitute in whatever the best version of a chips and salsa may be, I think chips and salsa like curb stomps almost
that's
everybody.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So
now I'm trying to think of what my favorite chips and salsa
an emoji, though.
You know
if
what's funny?
Jalapeno ranch counts. I don't think it.
Oh, does. Yeah. If it, no. That's different. No.
No, that doesn't count.
My favorite salsa that I eat regularly is the Target brand Serrano salsa. It's so good.
Hey, that's good. That's really good.
Those are the good ones.
It's so
catch a green salsa every now and then.
Oh, I love a green salsa.
You never know, man.
Have I made you guys my Serrano cilantro salsa?
No.
I have to imagine
that I make every summer.
I've eaten it, but I don't know.
Some of my favorite salsas, they're a little bit hotter than average, a little spicier. Mm-hmm. Definitely can taste lime. For me, mm-hmm. is a big deal. The rest like can do whatever it wants. I'd love some onion chunks in there, but God, I love salsa.
Yeah, is it conceited to say my own salsa is my favorite salsa?
No, it should be. That. You make it.
I definitely want to try it now.
It is my favorite
salsa.
You
should make it the best.
Our first matchup here, and as I have in the past, I've collected these 16 competitors from my own interests, things that are really popular, regionally popular. Try to be international to a certain extent. Look online for different lists, everywhere from Reddit to Southern Living to Vogue.
Appetizers.com.
Appetizer.net. We start with
Appetizer.gov.
Chips and queso against. And again, queso can be whatever is your favorite. It's fun to know people's favorites. Some people like a white queso.
It's queso.
Some people like
Torchy's queso.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So we've got chips and queso against bruschetta. So any like bread that has like olive oil or fun topping on there, usually like Italian.
Isn't it bruschetta?
It is. If you're from America. If you're in Italy,
nice.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. No.
If you're from Italy, it's bruschetta.
Bruschetti. If you're from Italy, it's bruschetta.
My favorite appetizer is bruschetti.
We have a lovely. Oh no, that was Russian.
Russian.
That's chips
Russian.
And queso.
Good.
We have like great bruschetti. You should try bruschetti. Very good.
I've been ready to vote since the first word
against bruschetta. If you want to be as that coarse and uneducated. 1, 2, 3.
Chippies and queso,
chips
baby.
Chips and queso.
Chips and queso moves on. Surprise.
Bye, right bruschetta.
That's going to blow
as
up
as I called
the
it as a child, chips and cheese dip.
Oh, dude, yes. I love me some cheese dip. Mama, make
I even
some
love
cheese
just
dip.
The, like Rotel Velveeta and ground sausage kind of queso. Give me some of that all day, dude.
Are you kidding?
Which is funny because
you had that at your birthday one time and I got sick.
Yeah.
Because I ate
that was probably the margaritas.
Yeah, that's true.
I accidentally made the strongest margaritas known to mankind.
Yeah, dude. Your queso made me so drunk. I don't understand. I had one bowl of queso. I had four margaritas and only one bowl of queso.
I almost missed watching my recording of the Kentucky Derby. Next, we have egg rolls against what I'm calling half shell. This could be oyster of any kind, which I had recently and really enjoyed, but it's a little bit more
like oysters.
East Coast vibe. But
anything, do you like oysters when it's like
served on the half shell?
Vinegar and the hot sauce and like all the fixings. Yeah.
Feels like you can do a little bit of everything with an oyster.
I'm a big fan.
Egg rolls.
We've never talked about this as a group of three. I would have bet that we were all oyster boys.
I didn't know it. The Kellys really? Introduced me to oysters on a trip that we had a couple years ago. And I was like, oh,
really?
Yeah. This makes sense.
They're just so expensive, but they're worth it.
They are.
I was
some
at
places
a,
have them on happy
I was
hour.
On a work trip in Florida one time. And my boss and like the rest of the staff, we were at like an oyster bar. And he was like, I'm going to get oysters for the table. And everybody was like, yeah, we would love some oysters. I was like fresh out of college. I was like 22 years old. And I was like, yeah, I would love some oysters. Nobody ate these oysters except me. And my boss kept buying me oysters. I had like 30 oysters. That's 15 whole shells that I had at this restaurant.
Dude, that's so much turtle and power. That's a gaggle.
I was so tired of oysters.
Can you look up the what a group of oysters is called, please? A cluster? Yeah. I'm going to say it's a
cluster.
Hold, please. It's a derber.
That's really extremely good.
It's a cluster of oysters.
A derber of oysters.
Guys, you're not going to believe this. It sounds fake, but it's not. It's called a oyster reef.
Okay. That's
Boo.
Fine. Lazy, but that's
or
fine.
Or a bed. You can call it a bed of oysters, or you can call it an oyster reef.
Oyster reef is silly. Bed of oysters is much better.
What were they up against? Egg rolls.
Egg rolls against half shell. 3, 2, 1.
Egg rolls.
Yeah, come on, man. Put whatever you want in those.
Rolls.
Common theme for me. When I'm having an appetizer, I want it fried.
Tube.
Yeah. I want some sort of crunchy
Dude,
cylinder.
Southwestern egg rolls, yeah. Traditional egg rolls, Boudin egg rolls. Give them all to me, baby.
Man, those chilies, Southwestern egg rolls.
Next we have guacamole against...
With a spoon.
Guacamole and chips, dude. No one ever says... It feels like chips and queso. It doesn't ever... No one ever says chips and guac. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they definitely do. When I said it out loud,
yeah,
I heard
absolutely
it.
Everyone says
chips
it.
And guac. They don't say chips and guacamole.
Right.
You know, it's
we don't
full
say, you don't say chips
Italian
and quesarito,
name.
Like the full name
like,
either.
Like bruschetta. Most people say guacamole against...
If you order... By the time you finish saying chips and guacamole, your real meal is already there.
Yes.
So it's not an app. It's just part of your meal.
I do love
chips
whenever
guac
you don't
against,
order guac and then you get fajitas and it comes with a little pillow of guac and you're like, ah, I tricked you. I got guac today.
You know, that's called a guacamole reef.
Oh, interesting.
That's
a bed
amazing.
Of guac.
Amazing. You should always ask. Most restaurants will do it, but that bed of onions, all that good stuff comes on. You can have them well done. Have we talked about this?
Ooh.
Whoa.
You can get them onions well done.
Yeah,
so they reach border of caramelization. And they're like crunchy
Ooh,
black bitter boys.
Nom, 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 nom.
Yeah.
Very good. Guacamole against hummus. And pita.
Oh,
you know,
this
would be, it's tough. Hummus is creative, dude. Hummus got lots of good stuff going on. 3, 2, 1.
Guac.
Hummus.
Okay. Jordan with guac. Doge with hummus. Hummus. Tell me, Doge, why hummus?
First of all, I think it's interesting that they're against each other because two people worlds apart made the same food based on what they had in front of them. And they said, let's dip our crunchy bread triangles into this squishy thing that we've mushed up. I don't know. I think I just... And it could be that it's 4:24 p.m. and right now hummus and pita chips sounds like a better snack to me than
hummus
chips and guacamole. Chips and guac
really
feels
good.
Like it'd be that feels like it'd be really heavy. Guac is less versatile than hummus. I think that there is all of the stuff where if you want to like operate outside of hummus regulation, you can have the like dessert hummus and like the brownie batter hummus and all that stuff that you're supposed to dip. Stuff and I'm not interested in that. I'm talking about you can dip more stuff into hummus and use hummus more ways within regulation than you typically can with guacamole.
Jordan?
I just disagree. I feel like guac, you've got it on chips. You can put it in a taco. You can dip an entree into guacamole. But then also, avocado toast is literally just guacamole on toast. That's all it is. And you've
That's
got, I
really
like to
true.
Put, that same spread on like a bagel. You can put it on, you can use it as a spread for like a sandwich if you want to get crazy, like a torta or something.
See, I feel like that's against the spirit of this.
Just as
this
an app,
matchup,
not as
though,
like a versatile.
It has to be an app. It's not a condiment. It's notably, we're not comparing
fair.
Condiments.
Even still, I'm still leaning guacamole only because of the key ingredients of like, citrus juices, onions, cilantro, and
avocado.
Like it just, guac is like a perfect food to me in and of itself. And yeah, I could eat it with a spoon, actually. I know you made a joke, but I could easily just spoon some guac straight into my mouth. The chip is out of necessity when I'm eating chips and guac.
I'm trying to decide.
That's true.
Because I have to say, the argument for much of the goodness of guac, maybe not most, but much of it, sure, is more of a condiment of adding it to things. I guess that's not a normal thing for appetizers in general.
Yeah, it's a little.
Is it?
Guac is like weirdly versatile.
Queso, yeah. Queso, I'm adding to a lot of things. But then it's not, you know, it's not chips and queso.
Sure.
Shoot, this is tough.
Even if the category is chips and guac specifically, I'm sticking with guac personally. Dude, Velvet Taco has a grilled pineapple guacamole. And it's so good.
Extremely good.
Every fresh spin they put on some classic things are good. Like their Thai queso.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to go hummus here.
All right.
Hummus makes it on to the next round.
Hummus.
I'll take that shot.
If the feedback is not as disappointed in guacamole losing as mochi based opinions, everybody's fake.
Yeah.
Everybody's fake.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think we're going to get some feedback there. But I'm going to have hummus.
I tried, everybody. Guacamole.
He did try, everybody.
I do love hummus. We have
next
hummus
we have
right now. That red pepper hummus that you can buy like pretty much anywhere. We've been making Greek bowls a lot, and we're just throwing that hummus straight in the Greek bowl. Dude, hummus is good, man.
I like
the
little hummus
cups. I'm a
roasted
hummus kind of boy.
I'll take hummus cups.
Yeah.
And then put a tablespoon of my chili crisp in there.
Ooh.
And play around with that.
Yeah. Have yourself
a good time. It's a good time. And if somehow it feels a little healthier, maybe it is, but it's still
I have that Yellow Bird Serrano salsa that has like the cucumber and lime.
Yellow Bird can get it.
And I feel like Yellow Bird with some hummus with that cucumber and lime freshness.
Bro. Yellow Bird has breadth. Their sriracha is really good too.
Yes, it is.
I think honestly, with how much sauce boys the three of us are, we could do a whole Spring Delirium
just
one
sauces.
Year that's just That'd only sauces.
You need to know. This year did feel a touch like a preamble as I was doing it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay. This is Whiplash. You really want to make La La Land?
This is really, yeah. La La Land is on the way. You can't, I've had 64 sauces in my fridge at one time. That's not hard.
Yeah.
And you can be specific too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's exciting. But we have certain things to do now. Let's do
Fall Delirium.
Fall Delirium. Nachos, which my friends most often are served as a shareable, which is crazy.
Sure.
We went to a Stars game the other day. If I see nachos as a shareable, very often we'll do that for my entree. If nothing else is really floating my boat the same way and I'm down for a good nacho, if they've got good cheese, I'm in. But we have nachos against what I'm just calling board. This would be cheese board.
Is that because you can't say charcuterie?
Charcuterie board.
McGonaghy.
It could be that. Some charcutes. A shark board. Cheese board against nachos. Three, two.
Wait, hold on. I have a question. I have a clarifying question.
Wait. Ask it then.
I just looked this up because I felt like there's a different word than there is. Are you familiar with like the concept of ponchos instead of nachos where it's like every chip is a bespoke nacho experience?
Yes.
Are we counting that as nachos?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Three, two, one.
Cheese board.
Nachos.
I don't feel good about my answer, but cheese board. I'm sticking
okay,
with
Jordan,
it.
Go first.
Oh my God, I love nachos
go first,
so much.
Board.
Specifically ponchos. But okay. I love a cheese board because I love to be in charge of curating the experience of the next bite. I love to be able
that
to say,
fun.
Give me the salty bite, give me the sweet bite, give me the in-between bite, give me a little bit of both. I'm personally a
and
fan.
And the sauces come back too, don't they?
I also love like a trailer parky cheese board where we use Ritz crackers because I am,
sure.
I don't even know if I've ever talked about this on the show. I am a complete and utter hoe for Ritz crackers. I eat Ritz like chips. Like I'll just like open a tube of Ritz and just like munch on them. But like I love a cracker and then
little
you do like
jelly.
So cracker and then pepper jelly and then like a sharp, sharp white cheddar. And then you throw on some whatever meat of your choosing. But yeah, I don't know, man. Cheese board is just so versatile, like even from bite to bite, which is fun. A cheese board's kind of like a whole experience in and of itself. And if you get wild with it, I know that I like to do little chocolate pieces on a cheese board every once in a while.
Get out of here, crazy boy.
You get a little wild with it. You can just have.
I had.
Call the police.
The cutest date for Chelsea. We were newlyweds. And I was getting her excited to watch Stranger Things with me. And I built a fort in our living room.
Yes.
That had string lights and all that good stuff and had a dessert board.
Yes.
But it was like gummy sharks, chocolate.
Twin snakes.
Like it was just like. Twin snakes.
Love that.
All that good stuff. I forgot there's a demigorgon like in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, and she was out, huh?
And she was out.
Yeah.
It was done.
Oh, dude. Also, charcuterie has a connotation of wine, which I appreciate. That is fun.
It's tough. We got to be careful with that, though. Because like chips and queso's got a
connotation of margaritas. Like,
if we're going to bring in... We're gonna bring in old Mark Ritas, dude.
Nobody gets a plus one.
That's a fair point.
No entries in this competition get a plus one.
All right, nachos.
Although I got to say, if you order a cheese board at a restaurant and it's one of those where it's like one type of cheese and then a bunch of like olives. Boo.
And you know that ain't cheap, bro. It ain't cheap either. Doge?
Tortilla chip.
Nachos.
Tortilla chip. Maybe a little bit of melted cheese on top. Sour cream. Pickled jalapenos. Now open your eyes.
This is the Loch Ness Monster.
You can eat that. That's a food you can eat whenever you want. Nachos are extremely good. And I think it is against the spirit of this competition and the way that we have judged previous rounds to disqualify nachos based on the fact that that perfect chip I described is about 20% of the nacho experience. But that's still the nacho experience.
That's why I like ponchos better than nachos, I think, because you can have the individual.
Exactly. The top layer of nachos is the nacho experience.
Yeah.
Just like the best piece of pizza or the most incredible taco is the taco experience. Just like the best mochi that you've ever had is the mochi experience. And the bad ones don't throw any clouds in front of the beautiful sunshine coming off of the perfect ones. And I think the perfect nacho is one of the most perfect foods.
When we make nachos, we layer it so that every layer still has all the good stuff.
Yep.
I saw somebody on TikTok make them vertically. Like you stand the chip up.
Oh.
You stand the chip up.
Like little slots.
And then put the topping like slots.
I don't think I like that.
I don't know how they did it.
Of
I need
a meal room. It's amazing.
I don't think I like that.
Chelsea and I make Christmas Eve nachos.
Oh, that's fun.
And it is tortilla chip and Fritos as well.
Ooh, you ever made nachos with Doritos when you were a kid?
You know I have. I told you this story a week ago. My friend Micah's mom made that for us when I went to jump on his trampoline.
Oh.
Do that.
Nachos moves on. Valid argument, though. I think the hosting community would very much lean cheese board nachos. I think you're coming like baby shower nacho plate.
I stand by my answer, really torn.
Think about what you said, though. If somebody was like, you have two baby showers, both alike in dignity, Fair Verona, where we lay our scene. One baby shower has nachos.
Yeah, that's good-ass nachos. Yeah.
The other baby shower has cheese board. You are equally close to these two people. And you're as excited for both couples to have this baby. Which baby shower you go to? Nachos or cheese board?
It really is tough for me. Like, it really is tough for me. But I do think I'm leaning nachos just for the
11 times.
I gotta say, too, nachos have been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. Any sporting event, to get that freaking concession stand, circle yellow tortilla chip with Rico's cheese, which is not even really cheese. It's out of a can, big old can.
Sure.
And just a mountain of pickled jalapenos. It's tough to beat.
It's like the consistency of caulk. And it's still like, I would love that. That's a good snack.
That was the hardest one. That is tied with pizza versus tacos for like, that was really tough for me.
Pretty tough.
Yeah.
Appetizers in general, we knew this was going to be hard. Next we have, And this kept showing up on a bunch of lists. I'm not the biggest fan. I think I need to give them another chance. But we have deviled eggs.
Ooh, I love a deviled egg.
Against loaded fries.
Okay.
Shockingly easy.
3, 2, 1.
Deviled eggs. I think.
Deviled eggs.
We already got nachos. It'd be silly to have nachos versus loaded fries because that's the same food.
I agree, dude. I feel like nachos are the better version of loaded fries.
Nachos are better than loaded fries to you.
Yes. I think so.
There you go.
I've had some carne asada fries that are like outrageous.
I've had more bad loaded fries than I have had bad nachos.
There is some bad loaded fries out there. The fries get soggy. That's a real risk. But also, you take the best loaded fries you've ever had in your entire life and just give me someone's grandma's deviled egg. I think
Baptist Church potluck deviled eggs. And that's the best thing that I've eaten that whole day.
With that little special like spout that they have to make it look like a little flower.
You sprinkle it with paprika. Yep. You throw a little relish in there. Don't even bother calling
relish on there, dude.
I'll eat 6 eggs as a snack.
Sure. Right. Right. And for my appetizer, I'll have an entire carton of eggs, please.
Yeah. I'll have one dozen eggs for
talking about
two starts.
sneaky amount of calories there.
I'll
have a Brady Bunch amount of chicken children.
We're going to get I can hear all of our Discord notifications going off about deviled eggs sweeping that round.
If you're surprised by that, what podcast do you think you're listening to?
Sliders, which is a silly American thing like baby burgers.
I do love a slider, though.
Wheelburgers.
Sliders against poppers.
What are poppers?
Like a jalapeno popper.
Okay.
That's certainly the most common.
Yeah.
I have my answer, and I also have the why.
3, 2, 1.
Poppers.
Yeah. Sliders is an entree. Sliders is an entree pretending to be. It's like when people are like, do you want wings as your appetizer? No.
No.
Wings are meal. For the same reason with sliders, I've never had one slider and been like, that was enough slider. I want a meal's worth of sliders. I've never had like 2 wings and been like, I'm good until my meal.
Is there a food though that you're like, the mini version of this is an appetizer? The only thing I can think of.
Fish?
Like sardines?
Caviar?
The really mini, the embryonic version of this is an appetizer.
I mean, we got the deviled egg. That's the difference between rotisserie chicken and deviled egg.
I mean, it's a great point, actually. Deviled egg is the caviar of chicken.
Of birds.
That's it.
I'll have the bird caviar, please.
We have some deviled swallow egg.
Now, deviled other eggs is interesting.
Ostrich.
The little deviled ostrich egg, dude. Yep, we were there.
It's like the size of a baked potato.
Just a bowl. Next, we have the aforementioned wings, which, listen, they are considered for many an appetizer.
Sure. The hard part for me is weighing them as a food or are we weighing them as an appetizer? You know what I mean? Like, that's the difficulty. For me.
They're in this part of the bracket. They are identifying as appetizer over here.
Yeah.
Wings against, because that would have been weird in entree. It's just not happening in entree. Less common.
I hear that.
Just save all wings discussion.
It is always
sauce,
happening for Carter.
Our sauce bracket when we do summer delirium.
True.
Late May delirium.
Wings against shrimp.
Oh, okay.
This is your shrimp cocktail.
Many would say the wings of the ocean.
Yep.
God's wings.
We're finding all of
that he made.
God's wings. 3, 2, 1.
Wings. Shrimp.
Okay. Who argued first last time?
I don't remember. I think I did. I think I went charcuterie first.
Oh, true. Doge. Why shrimps?
What else tastes like that? Where are you going to get that taste anywhere else?
Lobster.
Name another thing that tastes like that. Lobster tastes different.
Lobster and crab.
They taste different than shrimp.
Not that different, really.
Where are you going to get something else that tastes like the wings of the ocean? Nowhere.
This is your all-time worst argument.
No, okay.
It's great, though.
Wings. You know where you're going to get something that tastes like that? You know where you're going to get that? Fried chicken, which we eliminated last week.
Based on what it was up against.
Jordan?
It's up against shrimp.
Wings argument.
Yeah, I mean, wings wings as an appetizer are less interesting to me than wings as an entree. But wings as an appetizer are infinitely more interesting to me than just, you know, shrimp as a broad category.
Do the wings get a plus one of a sauce?
An appetizer.
Or of course, we just
that's
about wings.
Crazy. That's an insane question.
Then how do you judge
this,
it?
You
though?
Think this category is dry wings versus shrimp?
I would hear a dry rub wing over like a Asian zing wing.
Why? That doesn't make sense.
Having a sauce feels like you're judging because wings are as much of a vessel as a tortilla chip is.
No, I
so
disagree.
If it gets through, it's on the strength of the sauce. Not
no,
on the
I think
the
sauce
chicken.
Is the main attraction with chips and salsa. The wing is accompanied by the sauce to elevate the wing itself.
No way.
Yeah,
the
dude.
Wing is a the wing is
ooh,
a
what a hot
the
argument.
The wing is a spoon you can eat.
No.
That's
you want
no,
good chicken.
The wing
you want a
can
good
be
wing.
So bad.
Yeah, you can have bad wings. Yeah. You can have good wings.
Baked, fried.
That's crazy. The wing is 100%
are we flats?
Sauce
are we flats or drums, boys? Over here, I'm flats till I die.
Yeah, flats.
Flats. Flats.
Yeah,
flats.
Dude. Wings. Wings as an appetizer feels like a meal, but if it's got to feel like a meal, let it be a meal of wings, baby. I mean, wings are versatile, tons of flavors, yeah. Tons of different ways to prepare, and they are, I mean, I'm picking, if you hand me a platter of
most
shrimp
often,
and wings, yeah. I'm skipping the shrimp.
That's unless it is a food chain that is wings only, when I have had wings, they're order off of the appetizer menu.
Sure.
Carter, we need to take you to the wings.
Unless
and,
it's a chain.
The wings and tacos place over here in Rockville.
Yes, we do.
It's unreal.
What a wonderful good. Combination that is.
So when they started it, it's called Fireside. If there's one in Dallas too. If there's a Fireside around you and you're listening to this, DoorDash from them tonight.
Lemon
they're
pepper
fantastic.
Wings.
Fantastic. Lemon pepper and garlic
lemon
parm.
Lemon pepper is so good.
Lemon pepper
they're the best
we
wings
have
I've ever
a
had.
Local spot. We have a local spot that I want to plan the next time that you guys come down around us hitting this up. But it's a they don't even have a storefront. So they travel around from different businesses. But it's called Lord of the Wings. Have I told you about this?
No.
It's great.
Amazing. They have a Goku wing, which is Goku Jang. Goju Jang. You know the pepper?
Gochujang.
That makes your tongue tingly?
Yeah.
Gochujang.
Yeah.
Goku wings. Great. They have spicy elote wings, which is basically
ooh.
Like they took the toppings of elote.
Yeah, please.
Mixed them up and put them on a wing.
Yeah, please.
Ooh. Dude, it's also
good. Doge, let me…
Our final
Carter,
matchup.
Before Carter delivers
oh.
his verdict here…
Oh. That's right,
me,
I hadn't
let me play the same game with you that you played with nachos at a baby shower, if you don't mind.
Okay.
If I come to your house right now with shrimp, and we're not talking shrimp with accoutrement here, but if I just come to you with…
If my shrimp are naked, then your wings are naked.
No, that is not how it… Wings inherently come with toppings. Shrimp do not.
Shrimp
you can have
come
cocktail
with a
sauce.
Dip.
You can have cocktail sauce.
I have
sauce.
Cocktail sauce. Okay.
Great.
Are these fried or are they boiled?
Dealer's choice, dude.
Fried.
Sure. I come to your house with fried shrimp and cocktail sauce or lemon pepper wings from Fireside Tacos. And you're telling me that you're saying, no, thank you to these wings. I'm taking the shrimp. That's just not true.
I eat shrimp
be true
so
to your
much
heart.
More frequently. So much less frequently than I eat wings. And maybe shrimp just still have a little bit of that magic for me. They just still feel special.
Yeah.
And wings just feel a little
maybe
regular.
This is also…
You've left the honeymoon phase.
Late afternoon recording is the closest we ever get to being to a meal.
Oh,
so
dude, I'm
I
hungry,
bet that's
yeah.
got some play here.
Yeah.
Our final matchup. Wings wins, by the way.
Yeah,
wings move on. Our final matchup.
You love Paul McCartney. I knew it was going to happen.
Fried pickles against… Mozzarella sticks.
I'm ready. Oh no, he did it 2 weeks in a row. My two favorites.
It's not a struggle for me. I'm ready.
Fried pickles against mozzarella sticks. I don't want to know the amount of weight of each of these that I have eaten.
Dude, I know. Dude, I had mozzarella
in my
sticks
life.
Yesterday.
Oh my God. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Three. Two, one.
Fried pickles.
Woo! Fried pickles moves on.
I like a mozzarella stick. I love a fried pickle. That was easy for me.
Jordan, that Doge, that felt like a harder decision for you. What had you lean fried pickles over mozzarella sticks?
Again, where are you going to find a taste like that? Briny, salty, vinegary.
Dude, those pluckers, fried pickles,
also
spears.
Fried, also dipped in ranch dressing. Get out of here. It's unbelievably good. Yeah. Unbelievably good. I had a traumatic experience with a mozzarella stick as a kid as well.
Did you choke on the cheese?
The first time I ever went to a rainforest cafe, which sucks. That's like everyone, that's the most magical time in a kid's life, the first time they get to go to a rainforest cafe. And I swallowed it. I swallowed the bite of mozzarella stick, but then I couldn't, I had like lost my front teeth, so I couldn't chomp and cut the cord and let the rest of the stick go down. So I had cheese. And so I had to pull, it was like it was spelunking and belayed on. And I had to pull it out of my throat.
Oof.
It sucked. I cried as a kid.
I've had that happen to me. It happened to me in the middle school cafeteria.
Yeah, it's happened to me too. Sonic sometimes will have a thick cheese.
Mm. Dude, I had their mozzarella sticks.
Just want to take it in two bites.
Yesterday, I dropped my dog off for a bath and I decided I deserved a little treat.
They are a must wait, or you release some of that hot air pressure in there before you bite into one.
Dude, their Sonic's marinara sauce is dookie.
I didn't even get it. The cheese inside tasted like it was chicken broth. It was so like savory and weirdly salty. That. Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Sonic's marinara is like sweet.
You know, a pleasant little surprise every now and then is a mozzarella, like fried mozzarella, but it's like a triangle.
Yep.
You ever had those?
Uh-huh.
Those
are great.
Yep.
Big fan.
Or like the ones at Chili's that are like a brick you could build a house with.
The Chili's one's
huge.
That's fried mozzarella. That's not fried macaroni. Oh, no, that's Pluckers that has the fried macaroni like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Packets.
Brick.
Yeah.
Packets.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
I'll take 5 packets of fried macaroni and cheese, please.
Our appetizers that are moving on. Fried pickles, deviled eggs, chips and queso, egg rolls, hummus, nachos, poppers, and wings.
I'm happy with that.
They will join our desserts of brownies, cookies, pudding, cheesecake, mochi, cobbler, churros, and ice cream. And our entrees of tacos, sandwich, curry, burger, steak, breakfast, pasta, and sushi.
LeBron James, next week, Shaquille O'Neal, Michael Jordan, Jordan Wonders, and Charles Barkley. That's the dessert category. That is mochi in the dessert category.
I'm so proud of you. You drained dry what I feel like could be the names you could just randomly call out of basketball players.
I could say a lot of old Spurs players because of our friend J. Greg. I just heard him talk about Manu Ginobili and Kawhi Leonard like every 30 seconds.
I had NBA Live 2004 and the announcer, every time Manu Ginobili got the ball, said, Manu Ginobili! And it really frustrated
Manu
me.
Manu Ginobili! Oh no.
Manu, that sounded like the Saturday Night Live.
Keenan Thompson.
Manu Ginobili.
Manu Ginobili. With musical guests.
Also a story.
Fish.
Wings.
Fish wings.
Next week will be our final matchups of the first round. And it is inarguably the biggest catch-all of them all. Sure. Snacks. And listen,
anything's a snack.
The three boys
anything's
that host this podcast
self-control.
Have snacked on anything. But in my mind, I said, where do we put chips?
Sure.
Where do we put candy? And again, it's not going to just be candy. We'll have some variations there. But there's certainly snacks out there. I'm thinking walking through a QT on a road trip. What are the things? What's the aisles we're going for?
Yeah.
So be ready for snacks. That's coming up next week.
Did you guys have like a go-to field trip snack in a QT as a kid? Like if the bus stopped outside a gas station, what was your go-to field trip snack?
Chex Mix.
Lay's Masterpiece Barbecue.
Mine was a honey bun.
Okay.
I don't like honey buns.
Don't mind that.
I can't imagine eating a honey bun now as an adult.
They're always so dense, or at least the ones that I've had. And you lose 50% of the icing when you unwrap it.
I think they make them stale. I think they come out stale.
I think they made all of them in the 70s. And they're just still selling through their first batch.
Got to get through them, dude. Got to get through the whole
product.
We
can't make more until we've sold all of these.
Thanks for tuning in to Two Chunks and a Hunk. That's what you've been listening to, in case you were confused and you were like, this doesn't sound like Joe Rogan. We tricked you. Ha ha.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him again.
Make sure you tune in next week to hear us talk about some stuff, I suppose, and also fight about our favorite snacks. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and which one of these appetizers we would most like to nosh on right now. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan, and mainly because of the mention of margaritas earlier, but I could do chips and queso. I could do a full gallon. You could do a full gallon right now, and I won't poop for a week.
I'm Doge. Jordan, you get the chips and queso. I will get the nachos, and we can have a big platter.
You dump the queso on the nachos, dude. It'd be crazy.
Pour the queso on the nachos. Pour our margaritas on top of that. Wait for it to dissolve.
Ugh.
And then drink it through a boba straw.
Do y'all have a preference between nachos and ponchos? Do you know what I'm talking about with ponchos?
Ponchos
are so good.
Yeah.
I do think ponchos. I do love, because nachos is what you're going to get at any sporting event, because they just don't do ponchos like that. So I think nachos carry a massive amount, like more nostalgia for me. But if you're talking about bite per bite, I mean, that's what a poncho is for. You're not going to get any misses.
The ponchos at Chewy's that you get with that appetizer plate, give you the flautas, the ponchos, the quesadillas.
Ooh, Bowie.
Gloria's or Mi Cocina will both have very good
I bet they do.
Get some steak fajita.
I'm Gloria's over Mi Cocina, personally. Black bean dip and the Latin side of the menu, dude.
Yep.
Give me that pupusa.
Their black bean dip is their bean on their poncho.
Oh,
that's good to know.
Gloria, you shouldn't
have. Steak fajita. Yeah.
You shouldn't have.
I'm Carter.
I'm Carter.
And I think it's because currently making some delicious salmon bowl. We had it last night, doing it again tonight.
A little spicy mayo in
there? Basted in some soy and garlic and lime in the oven for 30 minutes, slow roast. Mm-hmm. Flake it off, dude. Put it on a bed of rice. Ooh. I'd love some egg rolls tonight.
Baby, yeah.
To start that. That's such a good vibe.
Dude, honestly, Trader Joe's has some frozen egg rolls that are
Aldi has a good frozen egg roll.
Hardly a better fry bite of like anything fried, right? Than the end of an egg roll.
Yeah. Loaded up with that sweet
and sour
right before you munch
it. Those two special bites you get for every egg roll.
That end of an egg roll is like the when you get the mega chip. That's like all the chips kind of stuck together when they fried them. And just like that cluster, that chip cluster.
Other side, first bite of an egg roll can be a little disappointing sometimes. It can be a little dry.
That's true.
Spring
Southwestern
rolls
egg rolls is also in that bucket,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, oh, of course.
I mean,
I was thinking
that's why they cut it in half in the middle, because they know that the end from the end is the worst bite. The end from the middle is the best bite. So they just give you the middle.
Starting a fresh egg roll sucks, but bites two through the end are good. So they just don't make you take bite one. You just start at bite two.
That's really smart. Congrats, Chili's. You did it again. Way to go, guys.
Thank you, Chris.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.